All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3. And no, I'm not preaching on tithing this morning. There are other subjects in Malachi 3 besides tithing, all right? But Malachi chapter 3 for the message this morning. While I was having everybody turn this morning and reading the scripture, a fella came in and he just stood right there. He was looking for somebody. I don't know who he's looking for, but he didn't find whoever he's looking for fast enough for me. I got a little nervous. And in this day and age, you don't stand there, you know. And then I asked Rick, I said, did you know who that was? He said, no. I think he found who he's looking for, but no, I didn't know him. And then we started talking about years ago. I don't know if you all remember this or not, if you were here, if you paid attention. But during the right before the early service, I came out of my office and came here in the foyer. A fellow walks up to me and said, you the preacher? I said, yes. He said, well, God told me I was supposed to preach this morning. And I said, really? He told you that? He said, yes. I said, wow, that's amazing. He said, well, why is that amazing? I said, because he didn't tell me that. And I'm the one that makes the decision about who preaches behind this pulpit. He said, well, I'm telling you right now, God told me I was supposed to preach. And I said, I said, I tell you what, I said, you come in here. And so I walked him in and I sat him right back there where Joyce is sitting. I sat him right there and I said, now you sit right here. He said, oh, you'll call me up when it's my turn to preach? And I said, no. I said, I'll call you up when God tells me that you're supposed to preach. I said, so you keep your eye on me. He said, okay. So we started the service, and I told Larry Stainer what had happened. Larry was dying laughing. He was just dying laughing. He'd elbow me every little bit. I said, you going to look at him? You going to look at him? You going to give him a nod? I said, stop. Would you stop elbowing me? And so anyway, the guy kept looking. And so all through the service, he was just looking and he would go, you know, like now. And I put my hand, no, not yet. Hadn't told me yet. Just stay where you are. And so I got about 10 minutes into the sermon when he got up and walked out and I never saw him again. But I thought we might have a repeat of that this morning. Kind of scared me a little bit. But anyway, all right, I've given you time to find Malachi. Have you found it? All right, you should have found it by now. All right, chapter 3. Let's read the last three verses of this chapter. The last three verses, Malachi chapter 3. You remember that Sunday morning, the guy was up here in the balcony, and he got up and he walked over this way, came down, walked all the way across the front, went out the back door of the balcony, came down the steps. I was preaching. And came through that door, walked right down the aisle, came up on the platform, and sat down right here. Well, when he started up the platform, I just stopped, and I was watching him. And Dr. Grammer was sitting right there where Pastor Ray is. And Dr. Grammer looked over and said, what are you doing? And he said, I want to sit right here. These are good seats. I want to sit right here. These are good seats. Dr. Grammer said, you can't sit there. Go down there and sit on the front row. So the guy got up and walked down and sat on the front row. He was good the rest of the service. But I kept my eye on him, that's for sure. Oh, yeah, I kept my eye on him. So let's not have any drama this morning, all right? I guess that's my point. Everybody just behave, okay? 40 minutes. If you can sit here for 40 minutes, that'd be great, all right? All right, look at verse 16. Verse 16. You follow along as I read. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for they that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. All right, I want you to keep your Bible open to this passage. I'm going to, in the introduction, explain a couple of words to you that are found in verse 16 and 17. There are a couple of key words there that I will explain to you, and I think they will help you to see the direction that I want to take this message this morning. But I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, Being God's Peculiar Treasure. Being God's Peculiar Treasure. Now you'll see why I'm entitling the sermon this way in just a few moments. But let's pray, keep your Bible open, and let's pray and end the message. Our Father, thank you now for the music we have heard this morning. I pray that it has prepared our hearts to receive the seed of your word. Thank you for each person who has come, and I pray that you will bless the word of God to our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear and to understand, to see the point, and to allow the Holy Spirit of God access to our lives. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me, and I pray that you will fill our folks with your Spirit and help them. We just need to hear from heaven, Father, so I pray that you will move and work in our midst today. Bless each one, and we'll give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Malachi is the author of our book, and his name means my messenger. My messenger. Now, what do we know about Malachi? Well, the truth is we know very little about Malachi. We know nothing of his birth. We know nothing of his descendants. We know nothing of his heritage, his family. We don't know anything at all, really, about Malachi. The only thing we know is that his name means my messenger. And certainly he was God's messenger and gave us what is the last book in our Old Testament scriptures. Now, there's something about that that I need to explain to you. As far as the collation of books is concerned, the book of Malachi is the last one. So far as they are listed or they are included in our Bibles, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. But chronologically, the last book written in the Old Testament was not Malachi, it was the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the last book. When Nehemiah was finished, then the canon of Old Testament, of the Old Testament books, was complete. Nehemiah and Malachi are actually they actually should be read together. They should be studied together, for they both were written at the same time period, although Malachi was written first and Nehemiah last. But the reason that they should be read together and studied together is simply because they go together. Nehemiah admonishes the people of their need for political reform. And Malachi reminds the people of their need for religious reform. Now, the book of Nehemiah was written about Israel's need for political change. There was so much corruption in their politics, and Nehemiah wrote his book to deal with that corruption and to reveal to Israel the need for change. Then Malachi, which was written by a called of God prophet, was written about the need for the nation to repent of its sin and to turn away from sin and to God before God's wrath and God's judgment is unleashed. And when these two books were written, you need to understand that Israel was in the throes of perhaps the darkest hour religiously and politically that she had ever been before. However, in this dark hour, there was, according to verse 16, in this dark hour, there was a group of people who feared God and who thought on God's name. If you look at verse 16, you will see that these people, I don't know how many there were, it does not say, but there were some, probably a small remnant, but there were some who feared God and who thought on his name. They were, according to what the scriptures teach us, they were God's faithful remnant who feared God and who thought upon his name. Now, in this dark day, these folks who thought on the name of the Lord and who feared God were drawn to one another. They knew who each other were, and they were drawn to one another. They would get together, and they would talk, and they would encourage each other, and they would challenge one another to stay true and faithful to the Lord. When they would get together, they would discuss spiritual matters. Look at your Bible. It says in verse 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." They got together often and they encouraged one another. And I think the implication here is that when they got together, they would discuss spiritual things. They would not sit around and gossip and discuss the latest scandals or the latest gossip about the brethren, but instead they got together and they talked to one another about the goodness of the Lord. Their conversations were about spiritual things. Their thoughts were about God. And everything they did was built around the person of God himself. And look, please, at verse 16. Malachi said, look at the verse. In the middle of the verse, it says, "And the Lord hearkened and heard it." The Lord hearkened and heard it. Now, here are these folks. They're a remnant. They're a small number. They live in a dark time politically, spiritually. I mean, it's just a bad time in Israel. And yet these people get together and they talk and they fellowship and they discuss things and they talked about spiritual matters. And notice when they did. Look at verse 16, the middle of the verse. Malachi said, "The Lord," quote unquote, "hearkened to hear it." Now, this is an interesting word. I told you folks that I have been taking an online Hebrew course. And it's been waning a little bit. It's gotten real hard, and I'm too old. I'm just too old. I can't retain it like I want, and I get frustrated with it. But I have learned some things, and this is why I took the course. All right, but they want me to take tests, and oh man, I don't know about that. I don't think I can do that. But anyway, I digress. Look at the hearken to hear it. All right, here's the Hebrew word means this: the Lord strained to hear. All right, the word that they used here is the same word that would be used for a mother listening for her baby to cry in the night. You know, mama has an ear. Dad could sleep through anything, you know. But all mama has to hear is that little whimper. Oh, that little whimper. And bump, she's up. She's in the bedroom and taking care of that baby. Well, that's the word that is used to listen for the baby to cry at night. And when the Lord hearkened to hear, when he bent his ear to hear what these people were saying about him, the Lord said, wow, I like to hear them talk about me. I like to overhear their conversations while they're talking about me. So when this little faithful remnant got together and when they started to speak of how wonderful God is, the Lord made sure that he strained to hear what they had to say. And then the prophet said that God enjoyed what they said about him so much that he wrote it down in a book. Now, folks, all of this is speaking pictorially, of course. God is omniscient. God does not need to write things down so he doesn't forget them. This is Malachi just using the language to show us that God cared and God listened and God heard, and it was a blessing to the Lord when he bent an ear to hear what these folks were saying about him. And so encouraged was he that he wrote it down in a book so as to not forget what these people said. All right, now look at verse 17. In verse 17, here is another little Hebrew thing I want to share with you. Look at verse 17. It says that God said, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." All right, now, jewels. This is another interesting word. Right in the center column of my Bible, it says a special treasure. Jewels meaning special treasure. So I looked up the word and researched a little bit, and basically the word jewel means this. It is the Hebrew word segula, S-E-G-U-L-A, segula. And that word means God's peculiar treasure. So God is saying, these people down there who think about me, these peculiar people who think about me, who talk about me, who love me, these folks will be my peculiar treasure, my segula. Now, don't misunderstand me, folks. You can be a Christian and not be a part of God's peculiar treasure. That's what I'm saying. And that's what God is saying. You can be a Christian and not be a part of God's peculiar treasure. God is not talking here about just Christians. He's talking about these dearest ones, these peculiar ones, these jewels of Christians. It is one thing to be a Christian, and it is another thing to be a part of God's segula or peculiar treasure. Now, let me illustrate what I mean. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the Bible and looking at several things in the Scriptures. This will help you to understand what I'm saying. Most of us have a circle of friends that we call this circle our friends, all right? Most of us have that. And then most of us have a smaller circle inside the big circle that are our closest friends. We have our friends, and then we have our closest friends. Well, God is like that too. All right, you remember it was said of Abraham that he was a friend of God. Now, there were a lot of folks that knew God during Abraham's day. But God said, when he looked down upon the earth and looked at all the people, God said that Abraham was my friend. All right? You remember that God said of David, that David was a man after my own heart. Now, God had a lot of servants on this earth when David was on this earth. But God said of David that David was a man after my own heart. Let me remind you, Jesus said of John the Baptist that there was not a greater who was born of woman. It is said of the Apostle John that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, that's not to say that the Lord didn't love the other apostles. Of course he did. But John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was close to the Lord. The Lord Jesus had 12 apostles, 12 disciples, as we call them. But then he had, of that 12, three that he called his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And those three were an inside circle of that 12. So God, I'm saying, has two groups of folks. Those who are saved, and then out of all those who are saved, those who are his peculiar treasure, his segula. So how do you reckon you become a part of God's segula? How do you think that happens? All right? I mean, I don't know about you, but man, I want to be a part of that peculiar treasure, don't you? I want that. So how do you reckon you become a part of his peculiar treasure? How do you become a part of God's segula? Well, let's look at these people, see how they did it, and then maybe if we emulate them, we can become a part of God's peculiar treasure as well. Now, what do we glean here? Well, look at verse 16. The first thing that I see in this verse is these folks who were the peculiar treasure, they stood in a dark and trying day. They stood for God in a dark and trying day. Hey, folks, I submit to you, we live in a dark and trying day. I mean, maybe we ought to try just standing for the Lord and letting God bend his ear to hear us talk about how good he is. And then maybe see God's hand of blessings on us. You see, when Malachi was God's spokesman, the nation was reeling in the darkest days spiritually and politically that they had faced in decades. Oh, on every side, there was corruption and there was despair. But these folks in our text were determined to stand for God in the dark day. It did not matter what the nation did, this remnant of people stood for God. I mean, they just kept going to church. When it wasn't popular to go, they went. When it wasn't popular to keep tithing, these folks just kept tithing. I mean, they just stayed true to the Lord and they kept loving God and fellowshipping with God no matter how bad things got in their country. You see, when the persecution started, it didn't stop them. They just continued to stand for the Lord. When the ridicule started, they just stayed true to God, to the God of their fathers, and they loved the Lord, and they just kept going. And God looked down on the nation, and he saw these folks who were standing, and God smiled and said, these folks are going to be a part of my peculiar treasure. Now, let's think of the application of this. How can we apply this to our world today? Listen now, you can be a Christian and not stand at work where you work. You can be a Christian and not stand for the Lord where you work. But if you don't stand, you won't be a part of God's peculiar treasure. Oh, you'll be a Christian still, but you won't be a part of God's peculiar treasure. You see, I guess that you can be a Christian and never pray. But if you are saved and never pray, I suppose you will never be a part of God's peculiar treasure. You can be a Christian and then neglect your Bible, not read your Bible. But you cannot neglect your Bible and be a part of God's peculiar treasure. You can be a Christian and not come to church, but you cannot skip church and be a part of God's peculiar treasure. And folks, I could go on and on and on and on. I mean, I could just give you for the rest of our time this morning application and apply this. You say, well, I don't think you ought to do that. I know it hurts sometimes, doesn't it? But the truth is the truth. And I could mention all these things that God expects from us. But listen, one thing is for sure. God's treasure, God's segula, stands for him. They stand for him. And I want to be a part of God's peculiar treasure. Second thing I want you to see here, not only do they stand for the Lord, but his segula thought on him. They thought on him. That's what we read here in this 16th verse. They thought about the Lord. I mean, when they got together and talked, their thoughts were about the Lord. You see, I suppose that you can sit around and watch a bunch of Hollywood filth and read a bunch of filthy garbage or watch a bunch of filth and slip into heaven if you've been saved, but you can't be a part of God's peculiar treasure and do that stuff. You can be saved yet as by fire, but you cannot be a part of God's peculiar treasure. Let me read you the psalmist out of Psalm 1. Here's what David said about all this. Listen, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You say, I wonder what day and night means. Don't think too much, but it means day and night. You see, when you get to the place where your thoughts are upon the Lord, oh my, that's a good place to be in. I mean, that's where you want to be, where God's word is on your mind day and night. You begin to think like God thinks. And then God says, wow, you qualify to be a part of my peculiar treasure. You see, you can watch a bunch of garbage on TV and still be saved. You can. You can watch a bunch of garbage and still be saved, but you won't be a part of God's peculiar treasure if you do. You see, you can still be saved and sit around and drink liquor, but you won't be a part of God's peculiar treasure. You're just not going to be. And I think the world, you know, I think the world is just waiting to see some Christians who are going to be peculiar people. We go into a restaurant to eat and look around. Everybody's drinking, and the waitresses will come over. I get so aggravated going over here at this Olive Garden. They come bringing armloads of wine to you. Get that stuff out of here. Don't set it on the table while I'm sitting here. I don't even want it on the table. I placed a to-go order one time over there, and I walked in, and a little gal standing at the front, and I said, I need to pick up a to-go order. She said, oh, it's right there at the bar. And I said, go get it. She looked at me and said, what? I said, go get it for me. She said, it's sitting right there. Just pick it up. I said, no, I'm not walking to that bar and picking that up. You go get it and bring it to me. And so she went over and got it, came back and gave it to me. She said, can I ask you why you didn't want to go pick it up? I said, because I'm the pastor of that church right over there. And I pointed to the church and I said, I am not going to be seen standing at a bar. Because as sure as the world, I walk over at that bar, 4,500 church members are going to walk by. Next day in the paper, church, the open door pastor, seen at the bar. No, thank you. You see, you can watch a bunch of garbage. You can think a bunch of garbage. Go ahead. You can get to heaven, but you're not going to be God's peculiar treasure. Now, that's just all there is to it. And I just think the world is waiting to see some Christians who think as much of the gospel of Jesus Christ as these protesters that are going on all over, around our country think about their socialism and their anarchy. I mean, just stand up for God. And I think the world is waiting to see if Jesus really means anything to us. But sadly, the average Christian is only really concerned about just getting enough salvation to get into heaven. Someone says, well, will I go to hell if I watch something bad on TV? No. Well, Pastor, am I going to hell if I listen to the wrong music? No. No, not if you're saved. You're not going to hell. No, but you will not be a part of God's peculiar treasure. All right, let me illustrate it another way. Some of y'all are looking at me like I got two heads. Let me illustrate it this way, see if this will help you. I started to use our newlyweds, David Wright and Kara got married yesterday. I started to use them, but it's not fair. They're not here, so I can't. That wouldn't be fair. Let's just say you, all right? Let's just use you, all right? You remember when you got married? Remember that? Yeah, a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. Shake your memory a little bit here. All right. Now, let's imagine that the ceremony is over. All right? The ceremony is over. And they've tied the tin cans to your car. And you know, you're getting ready to make a run for it. There's been enough bird seed thrown into your car that you'll never get it out. All right, so you're getting ready to go, and just before you get in the car to take off, you reach in your pocket and you pull out an envelope. It has her name on it, and you hand it to her, and she says, "Well, what's this?" And you say, "Well, I made plans for the honeymoon." And she says, "Oh, wow. Well, awesome. What are we doing?" "Well, we are not really doing anything. That is a ticket for you. And I hope you have a good trip." And so she looks at you kind of puzzled and she says, "Well, aren't you coming? I mean, it's our honeymoon. Aren't you coming with it? I mean, aren't we going together?" And you look at her and you say, "Well, do I have to come with you to be married to you?" "Yes." "No." "No." "Do I have to go with you to be married to you?" And so she goes, "Well, I don't guess you do, but I would sort of like for you to come with me so we could be together." And so he says, "Well, do you have to be such a fanatic about this marriage thing? I mean, do you have to be so fanatical about marriage? Come on." And she says, "Well, I don't think it's being fanatical for me to ask you to go on our honeymoon together." And then he says, "But I got you a ticket to Niagara Falls." "I've already been to Niagara Falls. I went to Niagara Falls with my family 10 years ago. I got me a ticket to Disney World in Orlando. So I'm going to Disney. You're going to Niagara Falls. And I hope you have a great time. And she says, but I kind of thought we ought to go together. And he says, well, do you have to do that to be married? You see the point, folks? I mean, let me ask you, what's wrong with just being a good Christian? You see, I mean, what's wrong with being a part of God's peculiar treasure? Don't you want to hang out with God? Don't you want to be in His presence? Don't you want to love Him? Don't you want to fellowship with Him? Why is it that we come to church on Sunday and we say, okay, God, sit down here. We put our arm around the Lord and we're all gung-ho God. And then on Monday, fooey on it all, and you live like the devil the rest of the week and then come back the next Sunday. Well, here's God again. No. God says you can do that and go to heaven. You can do that and still be saved, but you can't be my peculiar treasure and act like that. You just can't be my peculiar treasure. So what's wrong with being a part of God's segula, folks? What's wrong with that? Then thirdly, his segula spoke about the Lord. See, these peculiar people, they spoke about the Lord. These folks were who belong to God's peculiar people, to God's peculiar treasure, who were in God's inner circle, who were the most valuable people on the planet to God, the most favored people to God, were folks that spoke about Him. They spoke about Him. We're told that they spoke often to one another. And the Lord would listen in on what they were saying about Him. The Lord looked down upon His peculiar treasure and was thrilled. And He said, my treasured segulas are my jewels. If you are going to be one of God's peculiar treasures, you're going to have to talk about and to God. And, you know, we talk about Him because we love Him. I mean, it's just a natural outflow. You love the Lord. Did you ever notice anyone who is these teenagers, you know, especially you see these teenagers, they fall in love and they just get weird. Have you noticed that? They fall in love and they just get weird. Oh, I remember when one of my good friends in college fell in love with whatever her name was. I don't remember her name, but... oh, it was disgusting. I mean, it was just, oh, it was awful. It made all of us sick. And he somehow or another made everything about her. You know, it didn't matter what it was. He would twist it around to where it became about her. He fell in love with her. She was in one of his classes, and he fell in love with her. He was so timid, so shy. He would never talk to her, wouldn't talk to her. But always just talk about her all the time. And we said, why don't you get to know her? Why don't you wait on her and walk with her to her next class and get to know her and talk to her? No, I couldn't do that. Well, one day after, you know, he made all of us sick talking about her, we were all going to lunch one day and I looked up and there she came. And so I made everybody stop. I know I shouldn't have done this, but I did. And she came walking. I said, excuse me. I said, what is your name? And she told me her name. I said, well, this is my friend. And I introduced him. And I said, he'd like to get to know you, but he's timid and shy and backward, and he's not going to do it. So I thought I'd do it for him. See ya. And we walked away and just left him standing there. Well, they eventually got married. Yeah, it worked out. They eventually got married. But listen, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just loved the Lord so much we just talked about Him everywhere we went? I mean, just talked about Him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we made everything about the Lord Jesus? I mean, you can talk about others and still be a Christian and still go to heaven, but you cannot be a part of God's peculiar treasure and just talk about others all the time. You need to talk about the Lord. And that's how to become one of God's peculiar treasures. That is what made God stop and bend an ear to hear what they were saying to one another about how wonderful He is. The Lord stopped and said, "Wow, look at that. I mean, there's some folks standing for me in the dark day when it's not easy for folks to stand for me." The Lord recognized that. The Lord said, "Look, there's some folks standing there that they're talking about me when it's not easy for folks to talk about me in this day and age." And the Lord said, "Those folks are my peculiar treasure. Those folks are my jewels." And folks, I wonder if the Lord looks down from heaven and hears us singing these great hymns of the faith that we sing. And I wonder if the Lord sometimes says to everybody in heaven, "Shh, shh, shh," and He bends an ear and says, "Listen, down at Church the Open Door, they're singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." Boy, we don't hear that very much, do we, folks? But down there at Open Door, they're singing it. Listen to that. I wonder if the Lord bends an ear and says every now and then, wow, everybody listen. Shh, 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 listen. Old Norris is down there preaching about me. Don't hear much preaching about me anymore. Listen to what he's saying. Ooh, I like that. I think I'll just bend an ear and listen a while. And I wonder if the Lord says, "You know that bunch down at Open Door? They're my segula. They're my peculiar treasure. I mean, they're doing what pleases me." Folks, I'd rather do what pleases God than what pleases man any day of the week. Oh, God, may God help us to get close to Him. I mean, just to crawl up on His lap and love Him a little bit. Last week, I think it was last Saturday night, everybody was over at the house and the kids were all playing. Of course, my dad was there, my brother, and we had a house full, and we were having a time. And I was sitting in my chair, the Pope's chair, and I was sitting there in my chair, and Ella, Josh and Kathy's little one, she came over and stood right in front of my chair, and she starts batting them old big cow eyes at me, and she goes, "Papa, can I have some ice cream?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "You eat all your dinner?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You ate it all?" She said, "Yes." I knew that was a lie. And I said, "Well, what kind of ice cream do you want?" And she said, "Well, I was thinking about some vanilla." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, how bad do you want it?" She said, "I want it really bad." I said, "Well, do you want it bad enough that you could crawl up here on my lap and give me a great big hug?" And boy, a big old smile came over her face, and she crawled up on my lap and grabbed me around the neck and squeezed, and I squeezed back, and then I started tickling and giggling and laughing. And so then I bounced up out of there, carried her into the kitchen, and I got her a great big old bowl of ice cream. Now, I could have got that ice cream without the hugs. But I thought, hey, don't waste this precious opportunity. And I got me some real good hugs that day. You see, folks, that's all God wants from you and from me. He just wants us to crawl up on His lap every now and then and love Him and thank Him and tell Him how wonderful He is and let Him know that we love Him like He loves us.